This is the one with a foe Hansel and Gretel.
In a Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale nightmare.
There is a beast roaming the forest.
And an evil baron in a castle.
And there is the Doc and Lucy on a trip to Alton Towers.
What could possibly go wrong?
It's called The Beast of Orlok.
Here we...
Reviewing audiobooks now too, cause we love our Doctor Who.
Encountering we're in Tarmadark, Dalek, Spacetime, and Glam Rock.
Starlet phones are awful, that's the TARDIS way.
We're a punk in a marriage cane.
That's Kane with a K.
Who back when?
Reviewing all the poo there is.
Who back when?
Subscribe and rate on iTunes please.
Audiobook by audiobook, even those are gobbledygook.
We'll review them all you see, so join us on this odyssey. It's Who Back When? Who back when?
Hello and welcome to Who Back When, a Doctor Who podcast, episode A016, which is The Beast of Orlok. Okay, A016. I'm JD and joining me today with his numeric problems is Ponkin.
That's me.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you very much for asking. How are you doing?
I'm fine. So, this is our first audiobook review for a while.
Yes, it is.
So, should we jump straight into a Beast Gow and see if we can remember who our main characters are?
Yeah, let's give it a try. Beast Gow.
The Eighth Doctor and Lucy Miller arrive in the Black Forest, where mere moments before a monstrous creature has torn some weary travellers and their horses to shreds.
One man survived, though, Baron Teufel, a local aristocrat who had been gone for 20 years, but the memory of whom, as a demented scientist of Frankensteinian proportions, has not faded.
The Doc and Lucy now impersonate ducal emissaries and begin investigations, during which they meet Hans and Greta, not at all Hansel and Gretel, two young adults with mysterious powers.
And speaking of mysterious, who are the creature and the strange traveller who has just appeared in the forest?
Or the Baron. Or Hans. Or Greta, for that matter. Anyway, a dark fairy tale ensues.
You're welcome. Okie dokie.
So, we arrive cold opening into the quiet German forest town of Orlok. And we meet Baron Teufel and his travelling companion, Klaus Lüngner.
Lüngner. Yeah.
Okay, this is going to be really painful.
I wonder if we should almost ham-fist this in right away. Almost every single character in this story, as in the locals, their names, their surnames anyway, are German words that somehow pertain to their character. So Teufel, for instance, means devil. Lügner means liar, and so on and so forth.
Is Tor death?
Tort, yeah. T-O-D, Tort.
Okay, this
Which makes no sense. Like, for that character, makes no sense, I think.
No.
No,
that's absolutely fine. And so they're travelling, and we get the exposition carriage of doom when we get told that we've had a lot of murders. The Baron tries to say that they were all committed by a legendary werewolf-esque creature called the Beast of Orlok.
Yeah.
He tries to take credit for getting rid of the beast, but Lüngner doesn't really buy this at all, and basically turns around and goes to the Baron, well, this is you. You are the Beast of Orlok. You were the one killing people because you've been away for 20 years and there hasn't been any killing. But what we hear in the background is a large werewolf and then...
That's exactly what it sounds like, isn't it? It is a wolf. It's a wolf howling.
And then we get our opening title sequence, because there is an attack on the coach, and then we go into the titles.
Yeah. Should point out, also, Teufel, he even starts going like, no, you have to shoot this beast, you have to kill this monster, right?
Correct. Let's just... Maybe it's not him. Maybe it is him.
Maybe it is him. I don't know. Let's put a pin in it anyway, because who knows, right?
So, Teufel is played by Peter Guinness.
Ooh, trivia alert.
Peter Guinness has also voiced Dredd, who was in the animated Doctor Who episode Dreamland.
Oh, really? Cool. Okay.
And so we cut to title sequence and then our two main characters.
Oh, wait, who are they again? I've already forgotten. It's so long ago.
One is a character called the Doctor, who is a Time Lord who travels through space and time in a blue box who he calls the TARDIS.
Holy shit, that sounds so good, we should probably do a podcast about it.
This is the seventh regeneration, or as we call them, the eighth Doctor, which is played by Paul McGann, and his travelling companion, because he travels through space and time in a blue box, with young females who he abducts, and has done ever since 1963.
Hot.
This one is called Lucy Miller. She's from Blackpool, and she's played by the delightful Sheridan Smith. She shops in Primark and kills things a lot.
That's fantastic. I'm ready to dive into this story now. This sounds eminently interesting.
Anyway, they're going
that
to
was just sorry to cut you off again there. That was just for the benefit of all those people listening to this podcast who have never, ever watched Doctor who have no idea what it is. There's probably someone out there. I mean, statistically speaking, like, one of you has no idea what Doctor Who is. It's like, I'm only listening to this because my boyfriend tells me it's great. Whatever. Okay, sorry. I keep interrupting you, man. I apologize.
Why don't you tell us where the Doctor and Lucy are going, then?
Fine. They're on their way to Alton Towers, which, if I'm not mistaken or too foreign to know this, is a fun park. It's like a Disneyland kind of place, right?
Yes, it's like Disneyland, only smaller and more...
shit.
Green.
Oh, okay, nice. Okay.
It's more parky than amusement-y.
Oh, right, okay. I thought it was like a fun fair type place. Anyway, whatever, they're on their way there, they step out. Alas, they have not arrived in Alton Towers. Instead, they're in the middle of a forest, and we get one tiny little reference to a piece of equipment within the TARDIS. Lucy basically goes, listen, you don't know how to drive at all. You've clearly taken us to the wrong place. I should learn how to drive. What will we do in an emergency, for example? And the gadget that is referred to is the LTD switch, the locate the doctor switch, potentially, or Lucy to drive switch. Yeah, that's pretty much it, really. Then all of a sudden, kablamatron, gunfire is heard. They're clearly near the scene that evolved before the opening credits. And they run towards danger. Excitement.
So the Doc and Lucy arrive and find the Baron. They also find the bodies of two dead people and horses. And the horses are ripped to shreds. The people are ripped to shreds. And the Baron is in the cart, trapped. Do they meet Hans at this point? I seem to have...
Like when they're in the forest, they bump into Hans and they then together investigate this crash. So the three of them more or less rescue Baron Teufel. I mean, Baron Teufel, it turns out, has survived the whole thing. And so they pull him out. And I think Hans actually identifies him as Teufel. And he says, oh, he recognizes the walking stick. There's a walking stick with the grip looking shaped to look like a wolf. And he goes, that's the emblem of the Teufel family.
And it's got a lot of clay on the handle.
Yes, very true.
Which will probably become important very soon.
Yeah. There's also one tiny little bit. Sorry. There's one little interlocution. One little, not even an interlocution. It's a monologue, basically, from the Doctor, which is kind of, it's along the line. I mean, the Doctor does this a lot. It's along the lines of when James Bond is asked a question about something completely obscure, and he then suddenly knows everything about it. In this case, it's Lucy asking him, what year is it? And the Doctor, like Sherlock Holmesing the whole thing.
He
basically turns into the Time Lord Wikipedia and just goes, well, I would have thought that it was kind of obvious. And then he tells the whole story.
And he's out by a year. And weirdly, he doesn't sort of complain that he should have been right and the person was wrong. He actually just takes the fact that he was out by a year.
Yeah, exactly. What year is it? It's 1827.
Yeah. So the young guy, his name is Hans Tott.
Yep.
They rescue the Baron and then basically the Doctor's knocked unconscious.
Yeah, exactly. A tree falls on him or something.
For almost no apparent reason.
Yeah. Well, I think the reason is just plot development. Let's knock out the Doctor for a little bit. And in the meantime, we get a little cutscene from somewhere else in the forest where two dudes are looking at the whole thing. Or at least one person is recognizable as a dude, I mean. The other person, Wolf, he, at the time anyway, and please correct me, I'm not entirely sure if this is right, but he sounds like he is the Beast of Orlok.
Correct. And being called Wolf, because we're meant to think it's a werewolf by this point, you're meant to add two and two together and get four. But what you're actually doing is adding one and a half to nine and getting three.
That's not mathematically sound.
No, and neither is the plot development. So, we go to meet the Burgermaster, and we get some Burger King jokes. Oh no, we don't get the Burger King jokes yet. That'll come soon enough.
Is it Burger King? Is that what they're joking about? I thought it was some other chain of restaurants or something. The Burgermaster is like, oh, we've got one of those in wherever.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to be funny.
Yeah, I think so as well. We haven't got to it yet, though. When we do, I've got something else to say about that word.
So we now get an exposition about something we knew 5 minutes ago, that the Beast of Orlok has returned. That's the entire bit of this scene.
Yeah.
But we do get introduced to Otto Pausenbachen.
Pausenbachen.
Yes. This is going to be mispronouncing everything during this entire thing.
I apologize.
So Otto Pausenbachen. Pausenbachen.
Bingo.
Whatever. The Burger Man. is played by Nick Wilton.
Ooh, trivia alert.
And you and I have listened to Nick Wilton before.
Oh, really? Oh, wait. You have to give me a hint. I want to guess this one.
He had a worse accent, and it was in one of our best audiobooks that we liked.
Really? Yeah. Holy shit. Oh, I don't know if I can guess this.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Okay.
He played Garimov in Brave New Town.
Oh, nice. Okay, very cool.
So he had a Russian accent in one.
Very cool.
So,
I want to say something about this. So he is the Bürgermeister, is how they pronounce it in the audiobook. Bürgermeister in German means mayor. So he is the mayor of this town, right?
This is going to turn into quite an educational European podcast, because I don't know half of this stuff as well.
Okay, well, it means mayor anyway. Why, when the TARDIS translates everything, does it not translate his title? Why is he not referred to as Mayor Otto Pausenbachen?
Is it a direct translation, or does the role of Burgermaster actually have different duties to that of a mayor?
No, Bürgermeister is the mayor. That's what it means.
I don't know. But then again, you could easily ask why they don't translate the name of Hans Tolt.
Oh, but that would be a name.
Hans Dead.
Yeah, but that would be a name.
See, except in this episode where they're quite obviously just character traits.
Yes, even though Tolt means absolutely nothing to this guy. It's like, oh, we're going to name the good guys after death. Why? That's so weird. Anyway, all right, let's go on. Sorry.
Anyway, Lucy is a bit pissed off because as we cut back to Lucy, the doc, and Hans Gruber, they're all in a cell. So
yes.
When I was listening to the audiobook, I thought I'd missed something here because they rescue the Baron and then they get thrown in a cell for no apparent reason.
Makes no sense.
Apparently, I didn't miss anything because I listened to it 3 times and I really didn't. Lucy and Hans basically monologue at each other at this point.
Yeah.
Even to the point where the doctor eventually wakes up and goes, I've been awake for a while, but I couldn't get a word in edgeways.
Yeah.
Because literally,
you guys will not stop chatting.
Yeah. Sheridan Smith and whoever plays Hans.
Alan Rickman, I think.
I wish it was Alan Rickman.
Mm.
And we discover that Hans is a student at a university.
Yep.
Orlok's been gone for 20 years. Hans's mother hated Teufel, and Hans's mother didn't want him to go to study philosophy at university.
Yeah, and we get a really fun line as well, because he doesn't refer to it as philosophy. He says, Ars Philosophica, as in the art of philosophy. But when he says Ars, Lucy just goes, I beg your pardon?
But then we get back to the question that why didn't it translate that from Latin?
Oh, shitballs, you're right. So maybe when you deliberately say something in a foreign language, it is not translated.
But they're all deliberately stating something in a foreign language.
No, not to him. Like, I mean, he's saying something in Latin. He's not saying something in... Even though...
In German,
philosophy
but he
is from the Greek, isn't it?
Philosophia,
that's Greek, I think. Friend of knowledge. Anyway, whatever, let's go on.
Either way, it's making less and less sense the more we continue to discuss it. So,
translation matrix is maybe on the fritz.
So anyway, Doc wakes up, Lucy says, we're now in a cell, and then the Burgermaster turns up.
Yeah, another great line, by the way. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to paraphrase it. Hans says about the mayor that his stupidity is only rivaled by his lack of intelligence or something to that effect. Really well phrased, I think.
So then we have the doctor basically saying, right, I have an email here from Grand Duke Albrecht. Go on. You're dying to I can tell.
It's Albrecht.
He died to...
It's Albrecht.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
You know, like Albrecht Dürer.
Or Robert M. Albrecht.
Yes! Rob Meister. Oh, I hope you're listening, Rob. I hope you're listening. Okay, yes.
Right, so anyway, the doctor shows the letter he's got from Grand Duke Robert, saying, right, I have full authority here, so you lot, go away, I'm in charge.
Yeah.
You know, as the doctor likes to do in these
Didn't
things.
We even mention he found this piece of paper in the carriage?
I don't think we did, yeah. It was.
It belonged to one of the people who got torn to smithereens.
Probably Lugia. Lugia.
Yes, whatever.
Yeah. This is going to be painful.
Sorry.
And, basically, he completely just shuts down the Burgomaster and turns around and goes, right, I'm going to phone the Grand Duke unless you let us all out. Then...
Pretty sure he tweets him, actually.
So he sends Lucy and Hans off to the TARDIS to go and get a device to analyse the clay, because clay doesn't belong in the Black Forest, which he's only just remembered.
Yep.
And they all agree to meet back at Hans's mother's house. Tavern, isn't it?
Yeah. Can I ask a question here? So the doctor goes, hey, Lucy, Hans face, you guys need to go back to the TARDIS and fetch my whatever it is, spectroscope.
Yeah.
So he says, you and this dude from 1827 go to my time machine and fetch some device that Lucy probably is not able to identify anyway. And Hans, who, at least as far as we know, is from 1827. Is this not even weird in the slightest? If this were in the future, that's fine. Or if he goes, well, I mean, Hans, he's clearly, I don't know, a fellow Time Lord or an alien or whatever. Like, then
no,
it's okay.
I think it's because Hans is actually quite nice. And he and Lucy are getting along. And the doctor
very,
doesn't want
very
to,
much so,
and,
yes.
And the doctor doesn't want to babysit him.
Okay, that's true. Okay.
So we cut to the tavern, where we get Hans's sister, who
whose name is...
totally not Gretel.
Why are they named Hans and Greta?
It's obviously, being a fairy tale, it is meant to be Hansel and Gretel.
Yes.
Yeah. And also Mrs. Death herself. Frau Tut.
Yep.
Greta gives more exposition that we didn't care about, saying that the Burgomaster said that Orlok's back. And frankly, we've now heard that three times.
I think we know it. Yeah.
Even less.
Thanks, Greta. But, it's been established.
But what we do find out is Mrs. Death does not like the Burgomaster. We know earlier that Mrs. Death doesn't like the Baron.
Yes.
So she really doesn't like anyone. But apparently, Hans is coming back and it's soon going to be Christmas. So probably gingerbread houses are all around.
Oh, nice one.
Anyway, Frau Death is played by...
Okay, go for it.
An amazing actress who is in Harry Potter, and she does quite a lot of theatre, called Miriam Margolyes. But she does have a prior Doctor Who connection, or post this Doctor Who connection, rather.
Okay.
She will be in an episode called The Gift, of the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Ugh, really? Oh, wait, hang on. Tell me, have you watched the Sarah Jane Adventures?
Yes, I would watch Elizabeth Sladen reading the telephone directory, frankly.
Okay. Is that good? Is that a good show?
It is a children's show, and
yeah,
to be
so
fair...
Yeah, more so than Doctor Who.
More so than Doctor Who, but some episodes of it are actually incredibly good.
Really?
Sadly, The Gift isn't one of them. And you will know why when I tell you the character who Miriam Margolyes, who's a great actress, plays.
Yeah, okay.
Leaf, Apple, Glynn, Slitheen, Blatherine.
Oh, no. Really? Another Slitheen? Oh, Jesus Christ. I reckon it's just because they spent so much money on those costumes, they had to repurpose them for something.
Yes.
Ugh. All right, whatever. We're not talking about Sarah Jane Adventures or the Slitheen family. Let's jump back into the Schwarzwald. Pretty sure we are now actually in the forest again. And correct me if I'm wrong, the crazy, mysterious dude that we met in the beginning, or that we heard in the beginning, and his buddy Wolf, they find the TARDIS.
Yes, and they are not surprised by the fact that it's a blue police box in the middle of the forest.
Yeah, they are clearly not from around here. So either they're from the future, or they are aliens. Or both.
And
Around about the same time. Yeah, sorry.
Then we, yeah, and he's setting up posters around the town for some reason.
Yeah, he's saying, oh, well, they're never going to be able to resist this because all these posters advertise there's a mystic traveler, a palmist to 9 royal families, a guy who will basically, he's a fortune teller, right? Or he purports to be one. And no one could possibly ever resist the temptation of going to a fortune teller. That's the best way to lure someone in. So we don't know who they're trying to lure in, though.
So we skip to the exposition inn, where Greta is basically saying how there's this mystic traveller.
And she's so excited.
And she can't resist going to have her palm read.
How did he know that? How did he know that? He is clearly psychic. Anyway.
She wants to go right now, because that way she can be back in time for her brother, Hans, to return to the gingerbread house for Christmas. And Mrs. Death turns around and goes, well, all fortune tellers basically are charlatans, and, you know, I don't really want you to go.
Yeah. Mrs. Tort just does not approve of anyone, it seems. Anyway, whatever. Cut to the fat mayor, who is at this point rummaging through, like, the crash site. It is where the Beast of Orlok attacked the carriage in the beginning. And what does he find? He finds the sonic screwdriver, and he assumes, well, actually, let's not say what he assumes that it is just yet, but it is going to come into play in a little bit. He pops it in his pocket, and he also grabs, I think, the walking stick covered in clay. Kablamatron, cut back to the castle, Castle Orlok. And now the Doctor and Teufel are, like, they're sipping wine. They're like the best of buds.
Yeah, thus wondering precisely how long has passed.
Yeah, and also, the Doctor was in a cell a moment ago.
Yeah, this is endemic of this episode, where things happen, but we don't see how. It's like the Doctor and Lucy getting thrown in the cell. We don't see why or how. The Doctor being busy mates with Baron Pumpernickel, and we don't see how.
Yeah, but it makes no sense. Like, why would you even write in them being in a cell in the first place?
It wasn't necessary.
Not at all. Anyway, now so they're drinking wine, and I want to ask you a question. How many doctors actually drink alcohol?
It varies. We know that John Pertwee's doctor in Day of the Daleks, he really liked a nice wine because he was sipping Sir Reginald Stiles's wine, which Sergeant Benton was most unhappy about because he wanted some. So apart from that, we know that Matt Smith's doctor doesn't like wine.
Yeah. Hartnell doesn't drink alcohol.
We found that out at the shores of Lake Silencio when he was with having a picnic with River, Rory and Amy, and really didn't like the wine.
Well done. Hartnell doesn't drink alcohol. We know that Capaldi drinks alcohol.
Yes.
In the very first episode, he's sipping something.
Don't think Davison ever did. Baker wasn't around long enough. I can't imagine McCoy drinking anything. But basically, Pertwee was the one that sort of, you know, definitely drunk wine.
Interesting. And apparently so does McGann.
And why not? Anyway, yeah. Back at Exposition Hotel, Burger King arrives and he and Mrs. Death have a
grumpy off.
Yeah, yeah. They're neither of them are happy with each other.
And then he goes, here's the cane, give that to the doctor so that he can finish his whatever, his CSI investigation. But, oh, that's an annoying, whatever that's called when you say the same thing twice. The I in CSI stands for investigation. God damn it. Anyway, so that he can do his CS investigation. And then he says, Mrs. Tord, tell the doctor I've got something of value that belongs to him, and if he wants to see it again, he better, like, come see me or come talk to me and do as I say. She assumes he's referring to the TARDIS, but what he is referring to, in fact, is the sonic screwdriver that he's just nicked.
Hans and Lucy, they turn up at this point, and they say, we don't have the spectroscope, so we can't find the beast. And then Mrs. Death goes, you need no spectroscope. I tell you, in that castle, the beast is in there.
That is an amazing performance. Bravo, bravo. Yeah, she points at the castle. Cut to the castle.
Oh, and we go full on 0.99 Frankenstein here.
Crazy Frankenstein. Teufel is now giving the doctor a guided tour of some lab up there. There's a laboratory in the castle. And the weird thing is, here's something that we failed to mention before. Teufel told the doctor he has completely lost his memory. Not only does he not remember the incident in the forest, he doesn't even remember who he is. And he goes, it seems as though I wasn't a very good guy. And here, let me show you why. And thus, he shows him this lab. But he doesn't have to. What does he have to show the doctor this lab? And by the way, spoiler alert, he's lying about this. He has not lost his memory. Sorry, spoilers. Why does he have to tell the doctor, like, show him this laboratory?
Do you remember 5 minutes ago when I explained the fact that most of the things in this episode don't seem to happen for a reason, they just happen? This is another one of these.
Yeah, it's basically just to show us that he was doing Frankensteinian shit, because he even says, here are some, like, my old lab notes, and the doctor, I think, reads aloud from them, saying, like, oh, and then you popped the piece of flesh in some heated amniotic fluid, and all of a sudden, Kablamatron, it came alive. This is genuinely Frankenstein's story, but there's no reason for it to be here. You know what? Production note. You could just as well not have had the doctor notice this, and instead, Teufel going into the lab on his own and then speaking out loud to himself, like, oh, here I am in my lab where I used to do X, Y, and Z. He doesn't. Makes no sense. Pisses me off.
Well, it gets even worse, because Teufel gives him a book which lists the experiments. And he goes, well, okay, you're 20 years before Mary Shelley, and you are real Frankenstein here. There's electricity, you bringing things to life. And hold the horses, that was 20 years ago. You did robbing of graves. You were the ones that mentioned that some of these bodies must be fresh. Hold on, you are the Beast of Orlok.
Yeah, the doctor's basically pieced it together. Around about the same time as well, I don't know if it's before or if it's right after, or it's meant to be at the same time. Mrs. Death tells Hans Death to take Lucy and pop into the castle to quote-unquote rescue the Dockhammer, because he must be in trouble, as Teufel is some kind of devil, one might say.
The Baron now basically turns into raving Bond villain, because he goes, yes, well, now everyone will blame everything on the Beast of Orlok rather than me. I expected more from a Time Lord.
How does he know he's a Time Lord?
Well, because I recognized your sonic screwdriver device.
Bingo.
And hold on. Well, yes, the real Baron Teufel is dead, so you will be joining him soon, Doctor. Yeah. No, but you will kneel before Zoth. Because I am General Zoth.
Fuck, you stole my joke, man. You stole my joke. I will never forgive you for that.
The commander-in-chief of some vague planetary league, and I have come here seeking these experimental units across the light years away. And you know what? Soon you will die as well, as he pushes them into a tar pit.
Okay, so
honestly, the doc is now in the scene.
Wait, hang on. The doc is now in a tar pit. Is he? Yeah, he is.
Well, he gets pushed into a tar pit. It as Lucy goes through the sewers.
Yeah, she goes spelunking through shit city. It is the weirdest thing. Like, but okay, hang on. I think we should actually have a soundbite, because we haven't had one so far, and there is a really funny line between Lucy and Hans Death. Shall we?
Soundbite? I don't know which one you mean.
Okay.
Okay, let's soundbite.
Yeah, trust me on this one. Soundbites.
When we were young, Greta and I used to play here with Doodoo.
Please tell me that's someone's name.
Yeah, actually, that line is really funny.
Okay, tell me something else. The technology that Teufel used in his lab was way more advanced than anything that existed at that time, right? So are we meant to believe that this technology and those experiments were conducted by Kneel Before Zoth?
Yes.
Okay, so Kneel Before Zoth has traveled through the universe looking for two, quote-unquote, experimental units. Whatever they are, we don't know, yes? But what, he just took a break? Like, he just paused his search to then spend half a human lifetime? Like, assuming this aristocrat's identity and then spending the rest of his lifetime, human lifetime, whatever, conducting these weirdo experiments?
No, I don't think so, actually. I think Teufel, the technology is advanced, but not very much.
Okay.
And I think Teufel was actually doing the experiments.
Okay.
And the reason why, because it is only 20 years before Frankenstein.
Yeah. Okay,
so
no, you're
is,
right.
It is really possible that it could be that. The only other thing about the Frankenstein item is a little bit of trivia, actually.
Oh, really? Okay, go for it.
Because the Doctor would know the Frankenstein legend incredibly well, because one of the Eighth Doctor's travelling companions was Mary Shelley.
Oh, you're right. I remember you telling me this. Does that take place before or after Lucy, though?
Ooh. The thing about the Eighth Doctor adventures, it's...
not really set in time.
I think they're... well, with dark eyes. I think that they're set later, so Mary Shelley will come first.
Ha, huh. Okay, yeah. In that case, plot hole. You're right. I remember you telling me this. It's very cool, by the way.
End of episode one.
Excuse me, there's one more thing. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I know you're all eager to get to episode two. In episode one, another cliffhanger is, as Hans Death and Lucy Midler are making their way through Shit City, all of a sudden they hear a roar, and it's clearly the Beast of Orlok, this monster, and it's in the tunnels with them. Boom. End of episode one, episode two. Kablamatron.
Hans Death and Lucy run away from the Beast of Orlok, and they end up at a river and a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
So that's part of our cliffhanger. The other part of our cliffhanger is the Doctor didn't actually hit the pit of death.
No.
He's hanging on the edge of the pit of death.
Yes. And is being whipped by General Zoff.
Yeah, kneel before Zod is hitting him, and then there is a thump, and then Mrs. Death turns up.
Mm-hmm.
And basically helps the Doctor out.
Yeah. How did she dispose of...
I have a problem with this.
Okay, explain.
Well, Lucy and Hans went in on their own through the back passage.
Yeah.
And took quite a while to get there.
Yeah.
Whereas Frau Todd wanders up to the front door, manages to get in, knocks Neil before Zod out in his special Frankenstein lair.
Yeah.
Just as quickly.
We don't know this. Maybe she followed Hans Death and Lucy through Shit City. And they just ran in the opposite direction because they were being chased by the Beast of Orlok.
No,
and she
no.
then took a shortcut.
She could not have followed them, because later on she says Lucy's safe back at the inn with Hans.
Oh, God damn it, you're right. Yeah, okay, fine. So this makes little sense. Then again, we don't know how long a time has been going. Like, it has passed. Maybe the Doc has been hanging from the edge of the pit for ages.
Being whipped.
Yeah. He's made of some sturdy stuff, man.
Okay.
It does not matter. Somehow, Tord has, as in Mrs. Tord has... Mrs. Death, whatever. Somehow Mrs. Death has knocked out Neil before Zoff. She helps the Doc out. Kerblamatron.
And then we skip to Lucy and... Hans Death.
The cowabungaing through the thing.
Yeah, well, no, they jump into the river because they can't get away from the Beast of Orlok any other way.
Yeah. And they go underwater, right?
Yep.
And is it now or is it later? I think it might be now.
It's late. Go on.
Is it later?
The 10 minutes bit?
Yeah.
It's later.
Okay, fine. Sorry. Whatever. They jump in the water, as in Lucy falls into the water, Hans Death jumps into the water after her, and they are both submerged. Been a while anyway. I think that's pretty much it. No, sorry, he rescues her. He gets her out of there. So it must be now, right?
No, because she's unconscious at the end of the scene.
Oh, shitballs, you are right. Okay, so whatever, he rescues her after having been under the water for quite some time. Let's get back to that in a moment. Yeah.
So anyway, we have a cutscene of Gretel going to see the fortune teller.
Yeah. And he goes, yeah, I'm just going to pour a teeny weeny little bit of water on your hand. It's just part of the ritual. And the water starts behaving as though it were mercury. And Greta says, yes, this has happened to her since she was a kid. Water just reacts to her in that way. And this mystic traveler goes, you wouldn't happen to have a brother, would you? Whatever. Kablamatron. Cut to the Bürgermeister, Otto Pausbacken.
Who is basically stirring up the townsfolk to create an angry mob to kill the Doc and Lucy. So they get all of their pitchforks and torches and head towards Frankenstein's castle.
Yeah. Hang on, I gotta double check something, because I think there might be a fun word here. What's that mean? I think it means something like chubby. Yeah, chubby cheeks. Pausbacken.
Oh, dear fucking mother of God.
Anyway.
So we go back to the Castle of Death, where Mrs. Death and Neil Before Zod are basically having a little bit of bondage, and she ties him up.
Yes.
And we're back to Exposition Central now, and we literally get 5 minutes of explaining the plot of the episode.
Is this what you mean when Chubby Cheeks is explaining everything to, like, the Pitchfork guys?
No, it's when Mrs. Todd and the Doctor are...
Oh, okay.
Right, because basically Mrs. Todd knows that this isn't the real Teufel because she blinded him many years ago.
Yeah.
The Doctor then explains about star systems and people trying to kill each other and rival planets.
Yeah, but wait, hang on. You've got to explain how she blinded him, or we have to explain how she blinded him.
That comes later.
Really? Are you sure?
Yeah, that's at the end of this exposition.
Okay, whatever. Dude, we need to speed through this episode. Here's what happens, ladies and gentlemen. There was a shooting star, so she thought. She went to investigate because apparently this meteorite or whatever it was crashed in the forest. Turns out this meteorite was a spaceship. In the spaceship were two babies. These babies were Hans and Greta. As she saved them, all of a sudden, bing bong, up plops Teufel and says he wants to kill both of the babies. And in order to rescue them, she takes a burning branch and smashes it into his face hole, thus blinding him. Boom. There we go. End of scene. See, that's like a whole scene that we covered. That's how you do it, JD. That's how you do it.
But you also missed some really important things out from that scene.
Oh, shit. Go for it.
Neil Before Zod turned around and said that they were looking for experimental units.
Yes.
Which were military, either biological or temporal.
Yeah.
So it's likely to be either, a clone
Yes. And he makes a reference to, pretty sure, the Doctor says, I'm sorry, I cut you off there again, I'm sorry. Pretty sure the Doctor says, unlikely to be temporal, most likely biological, it wouldn't be temporal, such as a time destructor.
Correct.
Yeah, as we encountered, or the Doctor encountered, in the Daleks' master plan.
Correct.
Awesome. Just wanted to say that.
Lucy and Hans wake up.
Is that what you wanted to say, by the way? Was that what I left out before?
It was about the outlawed technology.
Oh, okay. All right.
And experimental units, which
yes.
is what they were
Yes, oh, you're right. For. You're totally right.
So Lucy wakes up, and apparently they were underwater for 10 minutes.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Well, it does, because...
Now we know, yeah.
Now we know that Hans can manipulate water or something.
Yeah.
But apparently the Beast of Orlok has done something similar. And they're running again.
Yeah.
So anyway, our friendly neighborhood tarot reader says, right, exposition time. I'm an alien called Judah, and you and your brother were created by me. Other people are looking for you. Neil Before Zoth wants you, but I don't want you to go with him because I'm a good guy and they're bad guys.
Yeah, let's put a pin on that as well.
And our final Doctor Who trivia of this episode.
Okay.
Judah is played by a guy called Trevor Cooper.
Okay.
Who has been in two episodes of Doctor Who before.
Oh.
He played Takis in the Sixth Doctor serial Revelation of the Daleks.
Okay.
And something that we would not have done had we have recorded this 6 weeks ago.
Okay.
He played Friar Tuck in Robot of Sherwood.
No way, really?
What, 4 or 5 weeks ago now?
That is awesome. That is really, really cool.
We cut to the Doc and Mrs. Death, who are morons, because they failed to notice that Neil Before Zod has actually got out of his bounds and got a gun. And it's just like, okay, you two are really, really bad jailers at this point. Neil Before Zod goes, those kids would have been mine if it hadn't been for that pesky Judah bloke. And he mentions that the Beast of Orlok is in fact a golem, our second golem of the Eighth Doctor Adventures.
Okay, wait, hang on. That's interesting because I did look that up and I couldn't find, on TARDIS Wikia, there is no other mention of a golem in Doctor Who. Is this from, where was the first golem in the Eighth Doctor Adventures? I'm sorry, I've forgotten this.
On the train in space.
Oh, yes, of course, you're right.
Yeah.
Not in space, it was the train going out of Stockholm.
Out of Stockholm.
Yeah, yes. You're right. Yeah, Grand Theft Cosmos. Okay, I dropped a pin a few minutes ago. I would like to address this pin now. Are you familiar with the story of the golem?
Yes.
The golem...
Well, our viewers might not be, so...
Okay, yes. So the golem is a character from... it's a Jewish myth. There are plenty of golems that appear in various Jewish myths. The most famous one is the Golem of Prague. If you've ever been to Prague, there is no way you can walk through the Jewish ghetto there and not encounter after a million people trying to sell you t-shirts of the golem. Like, it is the most famous golem. That golem, which is this creature made out of clay and he's brought to life through some incantation, he was, according to legend, created by Rabbi Judah Ben Lev. Bada bing. There you go. Someone's having fun with names in this episode.
Some slightly more
than others.
Understandable than others. Anyway,
yeah,
the doc is a little bit pissed off because, well, you can't create golems because that's actually against the law and they're almost indestructible. So they're outlawed. So why did you bring one to Earth? But guess because he's a Bond villain and Bond villains don't care.
Yeah, exactly. This golem is basically odd job.
So Hans and Lucy escape from the castle and run into Burger King.
Yes, and a whole bunch of just peasants who are carrying torches and pitchforks, and they're basically out to get Frankenstein's monster. Hans' death and Lucy, they're arrested, and then all of a sudden Otto, who... am I speeding through this? I might be speeding. I'm sorry, I'm so keen to get to the end of this episode. And then Kablamatron, the doctor turns up as well, and then Kablamatron, all of a sudden, whilst Otto is saying, oh, these people, they're causing all of the ruckus and the mayhem and whatever, voom, up plops the Beast of Orlok, the Golem. And Otto, at this point, brandishes the sonic screwdriver that he stole from the crash site and assumes that this thing is like a wand, a magic wand that controls the golem, right?
But it isn't, and he gets his head ripped off.
Bingo. Which is, I mean, the sound effects in this episode, they are awesome. They are crazy awesome. When we listen to the lab, when we hear the monster attacking stuff, like when the Bürgermeister's head is torn off Chubby Cheeks' body, it's wet. Like, it is a wet flop. It's amazeballs. Anyway.
So back in the Frankenstein Dungeon of Death, the doctor just says, well, you know, golems can't think for themselves, and once they get an order, it cannot be countermanded, even by the person who gave it, which just makes no sense whatsoever. And then Neil Before Zoff says, well, Hansel and Gretel are in fact a new breed of golem, and they can think for themselves, which also makes very little sense, but we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
So the Mystic Traveler finds the sonic screwdriver, and that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then they lure the golem towards the tar pit.
Yes.
That's basically it. Kablamatron, end of golem. Right?
Correct.
Yeah. Almost end of golem. Actually, it comes back out in a while. Whatever. Up plops Neil Before Zoff. Goes, that was pretty fucking trippy. Then jumps into his spaceship or something.
Basically, he goes to go and kill Mrs. Death.
Yes.
But the Mystic Traveler turns up. And they shoot Neil Before Zod. So we get a big reunion. Hansel and, Greta and Mrs. Death are, you know, finally get reunited.
Yeah, but hang on. Judah, he wants to go and get Hans and Greta as well, right?
Yes, but Judah's in here now. So we have Judah, Hans, Gretel, Mrs. Todd.
Okay.
The Doc and Lucy.
Okay.
And Judah says, right, well, I'm going to go and take Neil Before Zod's spaceship and take Neil Before Zod's spaceship and take Zod back to their home planet, where he will be ritually humiliated because, frankly, he's disobeyed all the orders and not followed the rules, even if we only knew what the rules were.
I feel like that's not quite punishment enough, but all right, fine, there you go.
I'm fairly with you on that one.
Yeah. Anyway,
so the golem bursts out of its boiling thing, and then
somehow they set it ablaze
because it's made of clay and it's starting to harden and it starts to break apart.
Again, awesome sound effects.
But it kills Judah.
Yes. All right. Oh, you're right. Yeah, yeah. So Deus Ex Tarpit.
But everyone gets out bar the doctor.
Oh, really? That I've completely forgot.
Yeah, everyone gets out bar the doctor, and Lucy's whinging and crying.
Oh, you're right. And but then we cut to the doctor, and he's like, he's in the lab, it's all going to hell, and then all of a sudden we hear the TARDIS materializing, and what did Lucy do? Call back! She located the locate the doctor or Lucy to drive switch, which is in fact a button, not a switch, and thus she rescues him. And then we get a little nice fond farewell.
And then the coda is that the alien spacecraft takes off with Judah's second in command, who is the Beast of Orlok. The Beast of Orlok. They take Neil Before Zod back to the home planet, and then we get Mrs. Todd baking a black forest gatto for Lucy.
And I like that ending. I think it's a nice ending.
Reviews!
Reviews.
Reviews.
Okay, I have a problem with this episode.
I can tell. You've been having a problem with this episode since we started this review, dude.
I really like bits of this episode. I think the first 10 minutes are very good. I think it's atmospheric. I think the foley is good. I think the actual musical score in the background is good. Sheridan Smith is amazingly good. The Doctor is amazingly good. Mrs. Death is amazingly good. And Hans and Lucy obviously have quite a lot of chemistry. So,
is that it?
Yeah. My problems are so much happens in this episode because it was needed to happen. It is a collection of linked scenes where you miss some of the linking. Why are they in a cell? Why are they drinking wine? You know, it's like it overran.
Okay.
And what they needed to do was cut out bits of the episode, it's a possibility, and cut out bits of the episode that weren't quite needed, and unfortunately, it was some of the linking.
Interesting.
I like the idea of a Hansel and Gretel furry story. I like the idea of a furry story. Being in the Black Forest, this sort of time of year, this sort of era could have been a lot more atmospheric. I feel that they were trying to do basically a Hans Christian Andersen furry story meets Frankenstein meets some sort of American Horror Story, and what you get is something which is far less than the sum of its parts, which could have been really, really good. Acting is amazing. Sound effects are amazing. The idea of the plot is very good. The execution is abysmal. 2.1.
Wow. Okay. I'm liking this much more than you like it. And I'm going to disagree with you on two things. First of all, you said this was a selection of scenes that were only in there because they had to be there. I disagree. I think the scenes that don't make sense to me, or the scenes that annoy me, are the ones that are there, not because they fit in, but also despite the fact that they make no sense, despite the fact that they don't need to be there. Why would you have him in the cell? Makes no sense. Why would you have Teufel go to the lab with the Doctor? Makes no sense. Why do you have all the exposition with Neil Before Zoff in the... No, not Neil Before Zoff. What's his face? Mr. Traveller.
Packen. Oh, well, that's actually a problem because we've just tried to figure out which exposition. There's too much exposition.
That's a good point.
There's too much of characters telling you what is going on rather than action happening. And there's too much of characters telling you what's going on the same thing three or four times. We get the same scene with the Beast of Orlok, and the Beast of Orlok has returned three times from three different vantage points, but it's not different vantage points. They're all the same. Sorry, carry on with you.
Okay, no, fair.
I'm ranting.
I'm going to disagree with you on one more thing, though, and that is, as in a second thing as well, and that is, you said you enjoyed this being a Hansel and Gretel story, or you like the idea of there being a Hansel and Gretel story. What pisses me off about that is, as in not about your statement, what pisses me off about the whole element of Hansel and Gretel is, this is not a Hansel and Gretel story. This is not a Hans Christian Andersen adaptation, or an adaptation of a Hans Christian Andersen story. The nomenclature in this story is completely disparate from the themes contained therein. The themes, I agree, they're Frankenstein, you've got a werewolf, and you have, even though I still, and I cannot remember what I said during Grand Theft Cosmos, but presumably I was equally surprised at the time, I'm going to have to re-listen to our review. The fact that there is a golem to begin with, and that they've taken this Jewish mythical creature and turned him into a space alien robot soldier, that baffles me. That absolutely baffles me. But that they, on top of that, then also add the nomenclature of an actual Jewish myth from Prague and apply that to space without it being a golem story, that I feel is completely inappropriate. Like, it's confounding. It belongs in a different story. I want there to be a golem story, but I don't want it to be this one. I want there to be a Hans Christian Andersen story, but this clearly isn't it, you know? That, I think, kind of subtracts a few points here and there. As for the... Okay, and the nomenclature can be taken further. further. I've already mentioned some of the names. They do apply to the actual characters. You have Teufel, the devil. He is the bad guy. You have Lügner. He is the liar. He is the guy who was the actual emissary from the Duke, and now the Doctor actually is the liar by pretending to be this dude. So by pretending to be Lügner, he is de facto a liar. Makes perfect sense. But then why do you have the two good guys being referred to as Tort? It's just annoying. Whatever. I'm saying all this, but I want to add something else. It doesn't matter to me. I think this whole story is so atmospheric that, in fact, before you and I just had this run through of the plot, I didn't even realize there were so many plot holes. I didn't even realize that stuff didn't fit in here. The only thing that I had actually noticed, and that pissed me off the first time I listened to this, that was the names. That's it. The rest did not bother me. Now it does. So thank you, JD. You have successfully ruined this audiobook for me. I'm still giving this a higher mark than you did. I'm giving this because it's enjoyable, because I think it's a fun romp. It's crazy atmospheric. It's so gothic and dark and awesome. And it's got a crazy Frankenstein character and a robot and whatever. Like, it is cool. I'm giving this a 2.8. Boom.
What's weird is the first time I listened to it, I gave it a higher mark. And then as I re-listened to it and made notes on it, it slowly got down and down and down. And that was more of the problem with the episode.
I'm going to say that about an hour and a half ago, I probably would have given this a 3.5.
Do you know what? When I first listened to it, it was about a 4. When I re-listened to it and made the notes, it was about a 3. And after doing the review, it was down to, you know, a fairly low 2. That was how much it went down in my estimation the more and more I listened to it and talked about it.
Wow. Okay, all right. Listener mini. Shazam, it is I, Future Punkin. We received one mini review for this one, and holy moly, it is mini. It comes from Gallifrey and Buccaneer. Aloha, Alan, how are you doing? He quite rightly introduces this mini by saying, incredibly mini review for Beast of Orlok. It's been about a year since I listened to this story, and all I can remember is that it was fairly weak. So I'm giving it a score of 1.8. And he adds a little promise at the end. If I re-listen soon, I'll put a proper review on the side in the comments. Alan, don't feel any pressure. If you do, I would love to hear it. 1.8, holy freaking cannoli. That's, I don't know why I said that. That's harsh, but fair. I also would like to point out something else, ladies and gentlemen. Namely, that Gallifrey and Buccaneer once sent in a review of The Skull of Sobek. Ah, Alan, I wonder if you even remember this. Aha. And in it, he made a reference to the Beast of Orlok. He said, The Skull of Sobek, which, by the way, spoiler alert, Alan gave that 1.1. Holy shit, Alan, you are a tough crowd. What was I saying? Right, so he gave that 1.1. And in that review, he compared it to Phobos, which we also didn't like very much, and the Beast of Orlok as being the big clunkers of the EDA. Well, clearly you haven't changed your mind, Alan. Clearly you haven't. If you do re-listen to this, do let us know. I'm going to hold you to it. In the meantime, rock on and shamalama ding dong. People who are not Gallifrey and Buccaneer, you can follow him on Twitter. He is at Alan Trussler. That's Trussler with two S's. Alan, thanks. Back to the show.
Well, thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't had enough of JD, then you should stalk him online. Check him out on Twitter, why don't you? He is at Marius Kane, that is Kane with ein K. And while you're at it, check me out as well. Say hi, I'm Ponkin. Here's how you spell it.
P-O-N-K-E-N, Ponkin.
Thanks. Rock on, be excellent to each other. Catch you in the next episode. Ciao.
It's been wonderful.
Blammo! Did you enjoy the show? Then please do what the cosmos compels you to and spread the gospel of who back when. Tell your friends. Don't have any friends? No problemo. Tell some strangers. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/whobackwhen. All in one word. Are you on Google Plus? Then find us on Google Plus. That's plus who back when. And when you do, tell us why you're on Google Plus. Who Back When just got its very own Twitter account. No lie. So give us a follow. You guessed it. That's at who back when. All in one word. Check us out on SoundCloud, vote us up on Reddit, listen to us on Stitcher, and head on over to our website, whobackwhen.com, where you can leave a comment, submit a review of your own, and peruse our visual index of aliens, monsters, and more, which increases in kablamos with every episode. And lastly, give us a rating and review on iTunes. Not only would it make us super chuffed, and it really, really would, but as thanks, we will transmigrate your iTunes nom de plume into the credit list of trailers for fake Doctor Who audiobooks produced by Who Back When. have a poke around our bonus episodes to make more sense of that. That's it. Rock on and be rad and excellent to each other. Catch your ear balls in our next Classic Who Review, New Who Review, or, still funny, Audio Who Review. Ciao.
Who back when?